diet with her. Just like the every so often he watched porn, eating those burgers on the road made him feel like he was cheating on Chris. He might as well have been fucking a new woman every night for how she'd react if she found out. Especially now that he was a father. And who knew what kind of crap she'd feed him once the hospital let them bring the baby home? Would they all have to eat the same homemade pablum? And Hart shook away these thoughts as he looked at the girl handcuffed to the bedposts below the menacing painting of the father and son watching two cows fucking. He envied her, the way she was now. Unconscious, unaware. The outside world was filled with so many terrible things, so many choices to be made. The human stink of crowds, inescapable noise and lights, an overload of sensory information bombarding you at every moment of every day. Too much of everything. Much too much. Life was less complex in the place she'd just been. Simpler. Choices were limited for her own protection. For the protection of her community. Or so they told her. Nobody knew much about the cult Enhart had rescued her from, this children of Dinah. Its leader was elusive, never once caught on camera without his hooded cloak. Its hierarchy, rules, and rituals were unknown. Just that much was something of a feat these days, with everything an inquiring mind wanted to know available at their fingertips, with documentaries and podcasts and exposés and Twitter threads. Despite all of that, it somehow remained like one of those ancient Greco-Roman mystery cults. They could have been worshipping Dionysus, or some ancient mother goddess, or even Cthulhu, for all anyone knew, though the name itself was a biblical reference. There were rumors, of course, that they sacrificed babies, that they were a front for sex trafficking and forced labor, like Nexium, that they ate human flesh and engaged in intercourse with children. All of this was somewhat typical blood libel stuff associated with outsider religious groups. But the fact that nobody knew much of anything legitimate about them was uncanny, practically supernatural. What was known was only what their name implied, that they were the spiritual children of the biblical character Dinah, a victim of rape in the book of Genesis. Were they all victims of rape, like their namesake? Nobody knew. The three previous members Enhart had deprogrammed had barely spoken a word about the cult's activities. It had been like they couldn't wait to get free. The deprogramming so easy it had seemed like he'd literally handed them the key to free themselves. They'd refused to share their story, keeping details vague or close to their chests, stating they remembered very little. But the trauma all three of them shared was evident. They'd each had visible scars, as well as mental. Some of them fresh. Whether they were from self-flagellation or abuse, they'd never disclosed. Even so, during his own surveillance, he'd seen nothing more disturbing than the typical love-bombing session, and a few instances in which someone became angry and was let off for a short duration by two other members, only to return within a few hours or a day later, wearing a beatific smile. Like many cults, they dressed blandly. The children of Dinah all wore gray flannel outfits during the day, and, apparently, gray flannel pajamas at night, though the daytime clothing appeared more functional, with pockets and the like. They farmed, singing vaguely familiar hymns, though Enhart's partner, Bob Ingalls, usually a whiz with music, couldn't identify them when Enhart hummed the few tunes he recalled back over the phone. They ate outdoors on a long wooden table under a gazebo roof, though he suspected they only did this in the warmer months. How they recruited, how they worshipped, none of that Enhart could get a handle on. On the bed, the girl's eyelids fluttered. She would wake soon, and she would demand answers. She would want to know why. Enhart would tell her, "Because you are loved." He would say to her, "Because it's a lie, everything you've been told. None of it means a damn thing." He would tell her the leader she worshipped, whose everlasting love she feared losing more than anything else in her small, uncomplicated world, that he was not at all who she believed him to be. The man she worshipped was a monster, a murderer.